Well, tonight we're going to be talking about something that I was kind of taught when I grew up, either by example or by implication, and that's the whole concept of, you know, like silent prayer, silent worship, and, you know, do we have to do it out loud? Now, that may seem like a trivial thing, but by the time I'm done tonight showing you what's in God's Word, you're going to understand. Let me just say it like this. For the most part, if you think you can get away with silent worship and silent prayer, and that God's going to honor it the way that you think He's honoring it, you're missing out. And I'm telling you right now that this is one of the reasons why a lot of Christians are not seeing God's promises like healing and deliverance and whatever else manifested in their life. It's because they're caught up in this thing, this belief system that, well, whether you worship out loud or pray out loud or confess out loud, it doesn't matter. It can be silent and you get the same results. No, you don't. You absolutely don't. And I'm going to show you this in the Word because, honestly, guys, if you can break out of, if you're caught up in the silent thing, if you can break out of that and begin to release this out of your mouth, your worship, your prayers, your confession, it can bring about a great change in your life and what's happening in your circumstances. You know, I've heard people say things like, well, you know, you worship God your way and I'll worship God my way. And then, you know, when it comes to worship, you know, it's like they always put their heads down and bow over. And they're not worshiping. They're not praising. I mean, they say they are. They say, how do you know I'm not praising and worshiping God? Well, you may believe that you are. But according to Scripture, it needs to be released out of your mouth. Some people say, well, that's just not my personality. Well, you know what? With all due respect, you need to make it your personality once you see this in the Word of God. Now, you guys are smart. There's not a dumb person in this room, and there's no dummy listening to this. You can get your concordance, your Bible software, and look this up. The words pray, prayer, or praying, and silent, silence, or silently never appear in any combination in any verse in Scripture. It's not in the Bible. Likewise, the words worship or worshiping and silent, silence, or silently never appear in any combination in any verse in Scripture. Now think with me for a moment. Since none of this appears in any verse in Scripture, shouldn't it kind of clue you in that there is no instruction in that direction? Well, I've always been taught. Well, now wait, I'm not coming against the people that have taught you, but I'm coming against the message. Because if it's not in the Word, why would we accept that it is the thing to do? If we can't find it in Scripture and we can't support it with God's Word, then why would we believe that it is acceptable before God? Now, see, listen, this is a challenge to a lot of people's belief system because when I was raised in church, silent prayer was an acceptable thing. And I'll give you a variation on the theme. How many of you can remember years ago? I mean, if you grew up like I did, it's, you know, Wednesday night prayer meeting. And, you know, they're taking prayer requests. And then the last prayer request was always something like this. All those with unspoken prayer requests, please signify by the uplifted hand. Then everybody's hand gets raised. And nobody says anything about the prayer request. Now, I understand. Sometimes you have a prayer request. You just don't want to tell everybody. I do understand that. But I'm just using that as an example. Okay, now, look over in Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 20. See, some people would really take issue with this and say, I absolutely know for a fact God hears my prayer. Now, wait a minute. We're not talking about what God can hear and what He can't hear. All right? What we're talking about is what we see in God's Word relative to what we're supposed to do. Now, there's a major difference in this. Now, look in Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 20. Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 20. It says, but the Lord is in His holy temple. Let all the earth keep silence before Him. There are even songs about this. Okay, now, what are you going to do with that? The Lord is in His holy temple. Let all the earth keep silence before Him. Well, I think what I'll do is back up a few verses to see what's connected to verse 20. We're not going to read the whole chapter. Let's just go to verse 18, for example. What profiteth the graven image that the maker thereof hath graven it? The molten image and a teacher of lies, that the maker of his work trusteth therein to make dumb idols. Woe unto him that saith to the wood, awake, to the dumb stone, arise, it shall teach. Behold, it is laid over with gold and silver, and there is no breath at all in the midst of it. But the Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth keep silence before him. What's this talking about? It's talking about people that are praying to idols. Now, let me summarize this. It's like God is saying, all of you people that are praying to idols, shut up. They can't do anything for you.
Amen.
They can't answer you. There is no breath in them. In other words, there's no life in them. But I, the Lord, I'm in my holy temple. So if you come into my presence, don't you be talking to idols. You see this? That is not, that this verse right here, verse 20, has nothing to do with our prayer and worship. It has everything to do with directing your voice toward God instead of toward idols. So therefore, somebody would say, yes, but the Bible says, the Lord's in his temple, let all the earth keep silence. Just tell them, say, well, you know, you need to back up a few verses and kind of catch on here to what God is telling us. That when it comes to what we speak, it doesn't need to be directed toward idols. Now, look in Psalm chapter 34, verse 1. Let's talk just briefly. There's so many verses we could look at in Scripture relative to both prayer and praise, or prayer and worship, and you know, how it's supposed to be done. Well, we're just going to look at a few of these verses. In Psalm chapter 34, verse 1, it says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be silent. What does it say?
Be in my mouth.
Okay, now, when you've got something in your mouth, there's one of two things. You either swallow it or spit it out. But it doesn't stay there, does it? You either swallow it or you spit it out. And he says, I bless the Lord at all times. How am I going to do that? Well, his praise shall continually be in my mouth. Look in chapter 71. Psalm chapter 71. And look at verse 8. Let my mouth be filled with thy praise and thy honor all the day. I will praise you, I will honor you, I will glorify you. My mouth be filled. Look in Psalm 109. Psalm chapter 109, verse 30. I will greatly praise the Lord with my mouth. Yea, I will praise him among the multitude. So now it's not just a matter of me doing it when nobody else is around. I'm going to be in the midst of the multitude when I do this. In other words, can I say it like this? God really doesn't care if anybody else hears you. Meaning, he wants it released. And if other people hear you and criticize, then he'll take it up with them. But as far as you and him, in the midst of the multitude, it's to be released. Remember, all scriptures given by inspiration of God. So what this means is that God is the one that's giving us this instruction. And God is saying, listen, here's how you're supposed to do it. Your mouth is supposed to be filled with my praise, my worship, my honor, my glory, my blessing. Your mouth. It's great that your heart's filled. It's great that your mind is filled. But it needs to work its way into your mouth and be released. Now look over in Psalm chapter 145. Psalm chapter 145, verse 21. My mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord, and let all flesh bless his holy name forever and ever. It says, my mouth shall be filled. My mouth shall speak. It's going to cross my lips. In fact, in the Bible, over there in Hebrews, it talks about offering up the sacrifice of praise, the fruit of our lips. The fruit of our lips, okay? Not our silent meditation. The fruit of our lips. It's supposed to cross our lips. Look in Psalm 149, verse 1. Praise ye the Lord. Sing unto the Lord a new song and his praise in the congregation of the saints. And so, alone we can do, and we should do it at home. But he's also talking about in a congregational setting. Okay, now let's think back. Remember in the Old Testament, they build the temple, or the tabernacle, you know, and all the priests, the musicians, everybody gets together. Now, what if nobody did anything? It says, after they begin playing and singing as one, praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. After they did that, then the glory of the Lord filled the place. Now, what if they just stood there and think it? And the director's up there, hey, what's going on here? Well, we're worshiping God our way. We're praising him. And the musicians, what if they just shook their instrument or something, their trumpets? I mean, what if they just waved them around their heads? Says, no, that doesn't work. You have to put it to your lips. You have to beat it with your drumsticks. I mean, you have to produce the sound. Musicians cannot meditate silently and accomplish anything. You understand this? Likewise, when it comes to what we do as Christians, praise and worship is supposed to be released out of our mouth. You can say you're worshiping the Lord, and God hears you on the inside. He knows what you're thinking, all right? So we're not criticizing that. What we're saying is, according to what is in God's Word, our mouth is supposed to be filled and release the praise and the worship. It's supposed to come out. And a lot of people just don't understand this. And so what they do is they clam up. And again, we've talked about this before. This is especially true during the free worship. It's like all of a sudden when we take the words away from you off the screen, people don't know what to say. I mean, and in some cases, when the words are on the screen, they really don't care if they're flat or sharp or somewhere in between. You know, they'll sound like an old cow bellowing when the words are up there. But when you take the words away, all of a sudden, they've got something else to do. You know, like, I don't know, plan lunch. I don't know. But they quiet down. They get quiet. They become introverted. Well, I just don't know what to say. Yeah, you do. If you're a Christian, you do. God saved me. Thank you for saving me. I mean, really, thank you, I'm born again. Thank you for your blood cleansing my... I mean, you can do this. You can do this. And we've talked before how that, you know, if you're all gung-ho when the words are on the screen, but then all of a sudden it's this, when it's time for your free worship, for you to pour it out of your heart, then, you know, quite frankly, you really weren't praising and worshiping God to begin with. You were singing songs. That's just like, you know, Christmas time. They play the Hallelujah Chorus by the Mormon Tabernacle Choir. I got to tell you, when I hear them sing it, man, I get goosebumps. But you know what? I don't think it really means a whole lot to them. Not the fullness of the message. They're singing it. And can you just imagine the day they stand before God? God says, you remember that song you used to sing? He shall reign forever and ever. Let me introduce you to the one who's reigning forever and ever. Now, you sang about him all the time. Why didn't you accept him? But it's too late. You wanted to... Well, I won't say that. It's too late. Okay, now, the Bible is showing us. And when you get into, like, in Psalm 149 and Psalm 150, it's talking about not just the singing, but the playing of the instruments and so forth. And so what we're seeing in Scripture is that when it comes to praise and worship, it's supposed to be released. We're supposed to speak it. Now, look in 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Talk about the prayer for a moment. In 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 37. Did I say 2 Chronicles? Well, that's not right. Let's try 1 Chronicles. And then we're going to take bids. This isn't right. 1 Chronicles chapter 20, and there is no verse 27. All right. Let's go to Psalm chapter 5. Psalm chapter 5. Verse 3. says, my voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee and will look up. So he's directing his voice to God in prayer. He's speaking it. In Psalm chapter 66, verse 19. But verily God hath heard me. He hath attended to the voice of my prayer. And again, this is speaking of the, you know, praying out loud, of verbalizing your prayer. So now what we're seeing, in fact, I don't remember what it was we were going to cover there in Chronicles, but nevertheless, what we're seeing is the fact that when it comes to both your worship and your prayer, it's supposed to be released verbally. Now granted, in some situations, silent prayer or worship may be the best thing. When you're in the grocery store, okay? When you're at work, all right? In other words, there can always be some situations to where verbalizing your prayer and your worship is not conducive. But now, generally speaking, we're in more places where we can verbalize than when we shouldn't verbalize, or where it's not conducive for verbalization. You can verbalize in your car. You can verbalize at home. You can verbalize, especially in church. You can speak it forth. So the pattern we see in Scripture, what God has established in His Word, is the fact that our worship and our prayers should be verbal. They should be spoken out loud. Now, some people might say, well, I don't understand this. Well, turn over to Psalm chapter 33. See, in Genesis chapter 1, how did creation come into existence? God thought it, and there it was, right? No, it says, in the beginning, God spoke, and it was. God spoke, and it was. God spoke, I mean, day after day after day, until He gets to the seventh day and He rests. But for 6 days, God is speaking, God is speaking, God is speaking. It was in His heart, it was in His mind, but it didn't become a reality until He spoke it. So therefore, we have in Genesis chapter 1 the pattern for somebody who has God's life in him to speak those things that need to be accomplished. Then in Psalm chapter 33, verses 8 through 9, it says, let all the earth fear the Lord, let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of Him, for He spake and it was done, He commanded and it stood fast. Now, there are a lot of other verses in Scripture that make reference to God speaking and things happening. But we're just using Genesis chapter 1 and here in Psalm 33 as the examples at this point. So what we're seeing then is that as far as it applies to God, if God wanted something accomplished, what did He do? He spoke it, okay? So now we see God doing this. Well, let's take it further. Look in Genesis chapter 1 and see what God did as far as man is concerned. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, it says, and God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. Now, here in this passage where He says, let's create man in our image and in our likeness, we've taught on this before. So very briefly, what He is saying is, let's create man to look like us and act like us. But yet man won't be deified. Man won't be God. Okay, now, when God wanted something done, what did He do? He spoke it. So now, if He creates man in His image and in His likeness to look and act like Him, then God is expecting man to do what God did, is He not? So if God spoke to bring into existence those things that He wanted done, He turns around and He says, we're going to create man to be like this. Therefore, God expects us to speak what needs to be done. We need to speak it forth. In Genesis chapter 2, look at this. This is the first act of authority that man exercised on earth. And out of the ground of the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. You see this? This is the first record in Scripture of man exercising the authority and dominion that God gave him. Now, how did he exercise it? By what he spoke. God brought the animals to Adam. He says, Adam, they don't have names yet. So, Adam, we need to give them names, but, you know, I'm kind of in a quandary here. I created them, but the thing is, I didn't give them names, and then I created you and gave you the authority and the dominion in the natural realm. So, Adam, these creatures, they need names. So, I'll gather them all together and bring them to you, but you've got to come up with names. Well, God, I don't understand. I mean, you created them. Why don't you just go ahead and name them? God says, well, Adam, it's not that I can't. But that's out of my realm of authority now. I've given you the dominion and the authority over that which I created. Therefore, you have the responsibility to give them names. And Adam, listen, buddy, whatever you call them, that is what they're called. That is their name for all eternity. So Adam exercised his dominion and authority by what he spoke. So therefore, what we see in Scripture is that from the very beginning, authority and dominion was exercised by virtue of the spoken word. Look in Ezekiel chapter 37. God honors and operates through man's authority. And this is very important for us to remember. In Ezekiel chapter 37, we're going to see a really interesting story here. It says in verse 1, the hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley which is full of bones and caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. Again he said unto me, prophesy upon these bones. In other words, speak upon these bones. Speak to these bones and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter you, and ye shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and ye shall live. And ye shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking. And the bones came together, bone to his bone. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. Then he said unto me, prophesy unto the wind, prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood up upon their feet, an exceeding great army. Now look at this. He says, son of man, can these bones live? And Ezekiel says, well, you know. In other words, you know, you're God. I don't know if I should commit one way or the other here. So I'm not, you know. And God says, all right, here's what we're going to do. He says, you prophesy to these bones. And here's what you say. And Ezekiel's standing there and it's like, well, God, I mean, if you're telling me what to say, why don't you just go ahead and say it? God says, it isn't that I couldn't. But Ezekiel, back there in Genesis, I gave the dominion and the authority in that realm to man. That's your place down there. Now, I'll tell you what to say, and then if you say it, the anointing that my words will carry will bring to pass the very thing that I'm telling you to say. And Ezekiel says, well, all right, I'll do it. And he says, so I prophesied as I was commanded. Now, what did he do? Did he run out through that field and start putting those bones together? The leg bone connected to the ankle bone. No, he just stood there and spoke. And as he's watching, he says, I begin to hear a noise. The anointing of God began to move upon that which was dead, and it gave life to a dead situation. Now, God honors our authority. What if Ezekiel had said, God, I'm sorry, man, but you know, all that confession stuff, that's not for today, man. I mean, come on, don't you watch Television? I mean, what church you go to, God? You ought to come to our church. We're more balanced. God said, I stopped by once, made two trips in one day, my first and my last. Now, if Ezekiel hadn't said a word, nothing would have happened. His bones would still be there. But he said, I spoke as I was. In other words, God said, if you want to see results, you're going to have to speak it forth. You're going to, it's not, it isn't good enough that you just have my words contained in your mind and in your heart. Ezekiel knew what he was supposed to say. But it was not until he spoke it into the realm of his authority that God was able to add anointing to see the results take place. Okay, now, look over in John chapter 3. I mean, we know this verse by heart. John chapter 3, verse 16. See, God's power plus man's exercised authority equals God's will manifested. So I'll say that again. God's power plus man's exercised authority equals God's will manifested. In John chapter 3, verse 16, it says, For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. All right? Now listen to this. The Bible, there's another place in Scripture where it says that the devils believe that there is one God and they tremble. Amen. All right? He says, Whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. But now look over in Romans chapter 10. In Romans chapter 10, take a look here in verse 9. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. You see this? So there are a lot of people out there that believe that Jesus is the Son of God, but they don't believe everything you're supposed to believe, and they sure don't go around confessing it. But if you go ahead and you combine that which you believe with your words and you speak it forth, the exercising your authority in this realm of our dominion, speaking it enables God then to begin to move in our life to bring about the manifestation of the born-again experience. And until, you know, the Bible talks about that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus, that does not mean everybody's going to be born again. It just means that there's coming a day when everybody is going to realize the fullness of who they either believed in or who they rejected. But they're going to know. But if you want it now, you have the authority. You know, well, if God wants me saved, He'll just save me. Well, He already wants you saved. John 3:16, it's His will. But His will doesn't get manifested until you utilize your authority and confess Jesus as your Lord and Savior. See? Well, if God wants me filled with the Holy Ghost, He'll fill me with the Holy Ghost. You think so? I mean, you think He's going to just slap you in the head without getting any kind of permission from you? That you don't have to believe in it? That you don't open the door for everything that God wants to give you? You see what I mean? And there are a lot of people out there that maintain this. Well, if God wants this and God wants that and God wants the other, He'll just do it. But they never come to the place of believing and then just speaking forth, God, I'm tired of living this way. And they begin to change what they say. And the moment you do that, it's the moment that God begins to move. He's able to move because now we're exercising our authority in the realm of our dominion and giving Him the right to begin to act. See? Now, look over in Ezekiel chapter 22. Our authority is directly connected to what we speak. And this is extremely critical. We exercise our authority through our words. We've talked about this. And listen to this. Authority unspoken is dominion unenforced. Now this is extremely critical. You have the authority. God's given it to you. And this may really throw you guys for a curve or something. But do you realize that even lost people have authority in this realm? All you have to do is be a human being. living in this realm, you are in a place of authority. Because God gave that to man. You say, oh no, you know, when Adam sinned, he gave the authority over to the devil. You really think so? If he really gave the authority over to Satan, how many people you think would still be alive today? I mean, how many people do you think, let me give you an example. With Satan, do you remember what he said back there in the Old Testament? I'll make my throne like the Most High. I mean, what he was seeking was worship. And remember what he went to Jesus? He said, see all this? Buddy, it's yours. All you have to do is bow down and worship me. And Jesus said, you're nuts. Well, he didn't say that, but that was the essence of what he said. Okay, now, what does Satan want? He wants worship. Okay, now if he was really in authority, anybody who doesn't worship him willingly, he would do his best to force them to worship, and if they refused, he'd kill them. That he doesn't have the authority. Okay? Man still has that authority. Now, as we begin to operate in this realm, we have this authority, but if we don't speak it, then our dominion in this realm is unrealized and it's unenforced. And see, this is one of the reasons why that Satan works so hard to get Christians to keep their mouths shut unless they want to speak in agreement with him.
Oh, I'm so stupid.
I'm never going to get healed. Why, I tell you what, every Christmas I always get the flu. You with me? Well, those kids of mine, they're never going to stop drinking. They're never going to stop smoking pot. They're never going to stop this. They're never going to... And Satan's back, yeah, come on, come on. Release your authority for me to act. I'll never be anything in life. I'll never hear God speak. And Satan's, come on, come on. Keep speaking. Because I can't speak it for you. You keep speaking what I want to have done in your life, and you're opening a door for me to move. Then we can't figure out why stuff happens. Pastor, I want you to pray with me. I don't know why all this stuff is happening, but I'm telling you, it just happens all the time. It never stops. It's always going. And you stand there, listen to this. It's like, I think we know why. First off, you know what I ought to do? I ought to keep a big roll of duct tape right up here by the altar. Somebody comes up and starts fussing like that, just, you know, rip off a big piece and say, hold still. Put it right over their mouth. Now let's see if we can get something done here. Ezekiel chapter 22, verse 30. Look at this. And I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land that I should not destroy it, but I found none. What's he talking about? Well, very briefly, God is talking about, you know, I tried to find somebody who would use their authority and pray so that I could intervene to change this judgment that was about to come on the people, but I couldn't find anybody to do it. Okay, now, let's think for a minute. Let's narrow this down. What if God is up in heaven and he's looking down at our family situation and it stinks? And he's saying, I'm looking for a family member to stand in the gap and begin to speak so that I can move in their midst. But I can't find one in that family that'll say anything. All they do is keep speaking the things that I will not act on. They keep reinforcing all the bad stuff. They keep reinforcing everything that is not my will. And I can't do anything about it. I look for people in a church to begin to speak my will for that congregation. See, this is one of the reasons why the confessions, why we do this. Amen. It's because nobody else is going to do it for us. You understand this? Well, you know, we keep speaking and we keep confessing and I don't see anything happen. Maybe if you could see into the realm of the Spirit, you'd see some warfare taking place. This is why the confessions are so important. Well, if God wants it done, he'll just do it. And God said, if you want it done, you'll speak it with your authority and dominion so I can move with my anointing and begin to work to bring it to pass. I mean, over there In the book of Acts, it talks about how God anointed Jesus with the Holy Ghost of Nazareth, Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power, and went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Okay, now, when you go through and you read in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, how did Jesus get most things done? He spoke. Sure, yeah, he had the anointing. He was anointed with the Holy Ghost and power, but most of the way he got things done was he spoke it. Be it unto you according to your faith. Boom. Be healed. Boom. Come out of him, unclean spirit. And how, you see what I'm saying? What if all he did was think it? And then get with the apostles. I tell you guys, I just don't know why that devil didn't come out. I know it's what God wanted. And I stood there and thought it. But nothing happened. And you know the apostles, they say, well, Jesus, we don't have a clue. You're the Son of God, man. You're supposed to know these things. He spoke it. He spoke it. You know what? The people around him were amazed. Who is this that speaks to the wind and the waves? And even they obey him. They couldn't understand that. And Satan works very hard to keep us to believe in this whole concept of silent worship and silent prayer. I mean, listen. Didn't Jesus say, your Father knows what you need before you what? Think about it. Verbalize it. You see what I, in other words, he's up there. And he says, I've got all the answers to every prayer you could ever pray. I know what you need before you ask. But you need to ask. In other words, when Jesus said that, it was an assumptive statement. Meaning, well, I'm just assuming you're going to ask. I mean, he already knows what you need before you ask, not before you consider asking. In other words, this is an assumption that you're just going to understand this and do it. Look in Psalm chapter 22. Psalm chapter 22, verse 3. But thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel. Now, we've got two teaching series on praise and worship. I'm not going to reteach it. But this is one verse that exemplifies why it is so critical for us to verbalize our worship and our praise. Because in this passage where it says, thou art holy, thou that inhabitest, that word inhabitest, it gives the image of God setting his throne right in the middle of all the praise and worship and sitting in that. In other words, God moving in. Like God picking up his throne from heaven and bringing it down to whoever's going to spend the time to praise him and worship him. They open up their mouth and they release it. Listen, some people cry out, I wish I just want God's presence. I just want to feel God's presence. Well, I'm telling you right now, if you begin to open your mouth and release it, you can begin to experience his presence. I'm not promising you goosebumps and tinglies all up and down your spine every time you worship him, but he said he will inhabit that praise. So when you begin to release that praise, it, not just think it, when you begin to release that praise, or begin to release that worship, you can expect God to show up. It's not just sing the songs, it's worship him in spirit and in truth. In other words, you focus on him and you begin to praise him and worship him out of focusing on him. And he says, listen, I will inhabit. It talks about how the gods ordain strength or praise because of the enemy. In other words, out of the mouths of babes and sucklings, thou hast ordained praise or ordained strength. So in other words, what he's saying is in that passage, and again, it's all in those series on praise and worship. If you've got a problem with the devil, one of the things that you can do is begin to praise and worship the Lord. And when you begin to praise and worship the Lord, it creates an atmosphere that is very uncomfortable for the enemy. He says when you begin to praise and worship him, to silence or to still the avenger, the enemy. I'm just tired. All these terrible thoughts. Start praising and worshiping God to silence those terrible thoughts. Now, look over in Mark chapter 11. Mark chapter 11. I mean, yeah, you know the famous confession verse. But look at this. Verse 23. Jesus says, for verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he thinketh shall come to pass, he shall have whatever he thinketh. You have to say it. I want God's presence. Speak it. God, I praise you for your presence. I thank you that your presence is in this place. I want my children saved. Speak it. Stop calling them lost. Stop calling them, you know, druggies and bums and losers. And start speaking what God wants. I call my children delivered. Well, why do you do that? Because that's the will of God. That's what God wants. And that's the thing He'll add His anointing to. I call my children born again and filled with the Holy Ghost. Yeah, but they're not acting like it. I'm not calling them what they're acting. I'm calling them what God wants. I call my husband in love with Jesus and serving Him. I call my wife, you know, faithful to the Lord. And that you begin, like the Bible says, speaking of things that aren't as though they were. You begin to speak what God will agree with, what God will act upon. You begin to release from your mouth. See, again, this is how our authority is exercised in our realm of dominion. We speak it. Now, you can write it. You can memorize it. But you've got to speak it. You have to release it. Look over in Daniel chapter 10. In Daniel chapter 10... you know, they're in the Babylonian captivity. And Daniel finds some scripture and he's reading it. And in verse 1 it says, in the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a thing was revealed unto Daniel, whose name was called Belteshazzar. And the thing was true, but the time appointed was long, and he understood the thing and had understanding of the vision. In those days I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. I ate no pleasant bread, neither came flesh nor wine in my mouth, neither did I anoint myself at all till 3 weeks were fulfilled. Verse 10, and behold, a hand touched me, which set me upon my knees and upon the palms of my hands. And he said unto me, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak unto thee, and stand upright, for unto thee am I now sent. And when he had spoken this word unto me, I stood trembling. Then said he unto me, fear not, Daniel. For from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words. You see this? So in other words, the moment Daniel began to pray, the angel of the Lord had been dispatched. Now you can read later on how there was spiritual warfare, the king of Persia, or the prince of Persia and all that. But what I'm getting at is, the moment, it wasn't just that he thought it before he prayed it. You understand that? You always think about what you're going to pray before you pray it. You realize what I mean? He's thinking about what he needs to know, but then he begins to speak it. And the angel of the Lord shows up and he says, Daniel, I want you to know something. I did not delay coming. The moment your words were heard. Now, who heard his words? God. The moment your words were heard, I was dispatched to come to you because of what you said. You see this? Now, let me ask you a question. If God acts like that back then with somebody that wasn't even born again, what do you think about us today?
Well, God never answers my prayer. God never answers my prayer. He don't do nothing for me.
And God says, I am not dispatching any angels on that. Don't worry, you're not going to get a visitation. Why don't you start speaking? God does answer my prayer.
Amen.
Now listen, it's not because God needs to hear that. You need to hear it. You need to build up your faith in that, to believe that God does hear. Because, I mean, the scripture says He hears you. You need to begin to speak what God has arranged, outlined, designed, described, and spoken in His Word. Begin to speak these things. Begin to speak. Begin to verbalize your worship. And His presence begins to show up. When we begin to speak forth what God wants us to speak forth, God can move on our behalf to bring... Now listen, you need to understand. Just because you speak it does not mean that God's going to violate somebody's will. Okay? That's very, very critical. You need to understand that. But what's going to happen... what's going to happen is this. When you begin to use your authority in the realm of our dominion, this natural realm, and you begin to speak what God wants spoken... what lines up with His Word, then that enables God to begin to move on our behalf to change circumstances, to change atmospheres. Think of it like this, concerning loved ones that, you know, maybe they've terribly backslidden or you know, I mean, you just don't know where they are in their walk with Jesus. Can they see clearly? Remember that song, I Can See Clearly? Well, they cannot see clearly, all right? There's a spiritual blindness, okay? Listen, nobody in their right mind who gets a clear glimpse of hell is going to choose to go there. I don't care who they are. There has to be a mental problem for someone to continue to pursue that direction if they get a chance to see hell. Okay? So people that are rejecting Jesus, there is spiritual blindness that's taking place. Well, see, as we begin to worship God, we've talked about, you know, the warring worship, and we've talked about how worship impacts the realm of the atmosphere and in the realm of the spirit. And we begin to speak and we begin to pray according to what God has described in His Word, then what it does, it enables God, it gets angels involved. I mean, you put it like this way, man. You get all of heaven involved in this thing because now you've opened the door in the realm of the natural with our authority and our dominion by virtue of what we said. And God can begin to move in this. Spiritual blinders can be removed. You know, the cloud can be dissipated. And people can begin to see where they've been making a mistake. And this is why it's so important, again, for us to speak it. In Mark chapter 4, verses 14 and 20... Jesus said, the sower sows the word. And He said, these are they that are sown among good ground. Some bring forth 30, some 60, and some 100-fold. Okay? But you have to sow it. You have to sow it into your own life. A lot of people, they read the promises of God and they're right in here. And they say, well, I know God's promised it, but I don't know why it's not in my life. It's like, well, you know what? How many of you ever had a job in your life? Wasn't there like a stipulation to where you show up for work and we give you a paycheck? All right? You no show up for worky, we give you no paychecky. Okay, likewise, there are promises here. You see this? All through the Word of God. And God says, they're your promises, but they aren't supposed to be manifesting in heaven. They're supposed to be manifesting in your realm of authority and dominion. So what I've done is I have documented for you what I want to manifest in your life. Now what you need to do is start speaking their manifestation into your life through your praise, through your worship, through your prayers. You need so that I can begin to move through that open door of your authority to bring these things to pass. Because you by yourself don't have the power to bring these things to pass. You need my power and anointing to cause it to happen, but I need you to speak so that I can begin to move. Praying in tongues? A lot of people talk about, well, can I pray in tongues silently? Well, yeah, you can. But again, this same principle holds true. When you are speaking in tongues, praying in tongues, I mean, just that, even just a little, the whisper prayer in tongues, okay? You are releasing into the realm of your dominion the absolute perfect will of God. Now listen. You can quote Scripture and speak Scripture and so on and so forth, and you will be doing the correct thing. But when it comes to praying in tongues, it is impossible for you to ever speak or pray anything outside of God's perfect will. That means every syllable that crosses your lips when you pray in tongues, you are releasing into the atmosphere of your dominion the perfect will of God, giving God the opportunity to add His anointing and power to bring that thing to pass. Whether it's change in you or intercession for somebody halfway across this planet. Praying in tongues needs to be released because of our authority and dominion here in this natural realm. When we worship and we pray and confess God's word to see His promises manifested and His presence experienced, it's going to happen. And this takes us back to this whole thing of, you know, must worship and prayer be out loud? God doesn't say you go to hell if you don't. And yes, you can pray and worship silently. We've all done it, okay? But what we see all throughout the Word of God is a pattern that it needs to be spoken. It needs to be released. And listen, the more you release, the more you're sowing. the more you're going to see manifested. This is our, let me say it like this, just for impact. This is our kingdom. And God is saying, listen, you're in charge down there, but if you let me work with you, then I can work through you to be in charge. But you've got to help me here. You've got to let me work through you. One of the ways we do it is by what we speak. What is there something about you you don't like? I mean, don't answer that, but if there's something about you you don't like, start speaking what it ought to be. You're releasing your authority. You know, I call myself smart. I call myself good looking. I call myself, you know, whatever. Just begin to speak it. Whatever you see in your own life that doesn't line up with what God says ought to be, begin to speak it. Begin to confess it. Begin to declare it. Because what you're doing is like you're opening that door for God to begin to move in and work in your life to bring about change. To work in other people's life to bring about change. To work in your healing. To work it. Whatever it is. Whatever it is. God needs us to speak our prayers. Speak our confessions. Speak our praise and worship. So the fullness of His intentions can manifest in our life. Praise God. Praise the Lord.